Sadage on RKR, reviving Gana Sadage Radio.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Strength and determination, relentless fight through the adversity and darkness of life. Jah guide we with endless light. Endless light. Do you know there's a war? Do you know what you're fighting for? Emptiness is heavy in your head, cause nothing's unfolding as you play. So now you're grasping in the door with chains upon your heart. Something is praying for you to persevere. So let me make this thing a little more clear.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this month we are celebrating Black Fathers the entire month of June. We did May, where we celebrated Black Mothers for every single Tuesday in May, and now we got to celebrate the Fathers as well. This evening, the person that is joining us, in addition to being an actor and animator, Angelo Cadet has worked in television, film, theater, and communications for over 30 years. He is a seasoned multidisciplinary artist, also recognized as a designer, director, television consultant, producer, event artistic director, professor of TV journalism at La Salle Conservatoire, where he was also the director of studies, and in the fall of 2015, he received the prestigious Charlie Bill Award. The City of Montreal named him the Black History Month Laureate in February of 2021. His generous approach to arts and culture has been defined through his many accomplishments. His many volunteer activities, social and community implications are numerous. The artistic community of diversity recognizes him, and also he was, correct me if I'm wrong, the artistic director of the Gala Dynasty for at least the past 3 years, if not more. For the past 5 years, so the entirety of the Gala Dynasty. Angelo Cadet, thank you so much for being here, brother. How are you doing?
Okay, man. Thank you for welcome. I feel amazing. I feel great. It's summer at last. We are, you know, after a long, you know, pandemic or whatever, you know, we've been through something really hard, but now we're smiling, we're here, we're privileged to be here, me and you.
Absolutely. And also, you celebrated a birthday a couple of weeks ago on June 2nd, so happy birthday from the Soul P Radio. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, before we get into our discussion topic, we like to check in with our guests, because the last 2 years were very unusual. 2020 and 2021, we had this pandemic. The beginning of the year, this year, 2022, it was still kind of shaky. We were hearing rumblings of, oh, it's going to go back to quote unquote normal. And you know, people can go to restaurants and there won't be mask requirements. And now travel, they're saying that they won't be requiring vaccination, this and that and whatnot, which was so problematic, I found. But how was this whole pandemic situation for you?
Well, like everybody, took me by surprise. But first time I heard that, I said, well, it's a part of the world, you know, there have been pandemic before. So I went to Google, like everybody, you know, to check, you know, do my Google check, Google map check, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's about 4 years each. So I said, well, okay. So every time I do something like that is to be in a state of mind, mm-hmm. you know, to be prepared, to be ready, to know what we're doing, and of course, taking care of my family, my son, my mom, and stuff like that. And let's roll. You know, I was ready to roll, ready to fight. That's how I'm taking life. You know, I'm in the middle of the ring, and whatever happened to me, it's like sometimes it's not easy, sometimes it's privileged, but and after, you know, it was March 13.
Yeah.
2 years ago, and after a month, I lost one aunt, I lost a cousin. One aunt was actually was in Montreal. Another cousin, young cousin, about 40-year-old, 42,
wow.
in New York. And I lost another aunt in New York. And then I lost my father.
Oh.
I lost the presence of my father because I didn't lose. You don't lose people, you know.
No, no.
Because I developed like a new relationship spiritually, and,
yeah.
which is really great. And I can feel him. I can eat with him. I can. He's coming to visit me in my dream. So, but you know, yeah, we weren't prepared for that because he was in good shape. He was very active, writing. He has a center under his name in Haïti, Jacmel,
mm-hmm.
which is called Maurice Cadet Centre Culturel. Maurice Cadet, yeah, CCMC. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of kids there. My father used to be a French literature teacher.
Right.
So he was really happy because he was surrounded by young people like, in his young days, and so I guess that makes him really like younger.
Young at heart, know? Yeah.
Yeah, at heart. So we were very proud of him. So, but he had caught some fever, but he was about diabetes. The medicine wasn't good. It wasn't up to date. So, but he had a couple of days rough, and then a week after he was going back was good,
mm-hmm.
but he was hiding us that he had some kind of really strong fever. And
mm-hmm.
I, you know, remember 2 months after the COVID, if you have fever, you man, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah,
everybody was scared, you know. So, and he didn't want to take the ambulance to go to the biggest city, Port-au-Prince, because if you go to the hospital, you might cut to COVID.
Yeah.
And then when he decided to go that night, he didn't make it the next morning. The ambulance was supposed to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning and didn't make it. And you know what? It's strange because when you're never ready to news like that, you know?
No, no.
And we were talking through WhatsApp 2 days before, and
yep.
even the same day I was writing to him, I said, don't answer me. I know you're in the bed, but we were hoping, we had faith. And then
yeah.
I was with a friend of mine, Italian friend of mine. We were taking a long walk, and I came back home. Yeah. It was about 10 o'clock, and I took a glass of wine. It's summer, you know, it's May 29th. So the phone rang, and it's my father. I saw the picture. I said, oh, my God. I said, Papi? And I heard a voice of a woman. Is that Mr. Angelo or Mr. Miko? My brother, his name is Miko. I said, it's Mr. Angelo. Who is that? Mm-hmm. And she named herself, and she said something in Creole, but I didn't cut it. You know, I said, what? What did you say? And she goes, your papa mori. I said, what? And she goes in French, your father just passed away. Ton père est mort. Mm. My knees just like, oh, man. I start to cry right away. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was possible because I thought that, you know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, so my deepest condolences, Angelo.
Hey,
my deepest condolences.
Oh, thank you, my man.
I lost my father at the beginning of 2021, not to COVID, but it was the middle of the night. I got a phone call, and the crazy thing is, I don't normally leave the sound on my phone, my phone woke me up out of my sleep. I thought it was somebody else because this was. There was only like one or two people that would call me like that. And it was my stepmother on the other line telling me, you know, my father passed and I need to get to Toronto right away. So my deepest condolences, like it's...
Well, same to you, man. We have the same boat.
Yeah.
But when I say same boat, it's about sons getting to know the loss of the presence of a father. For me, he wasn't there all the time.
Right.
I love my father, but for a long time, I was really mad at him, you know, about that. I was trying to tell him that. I went a couple times one-on-one for... One time, I was going to live in Toronto for a job, and I took a week before. I said, I need to talk to you. For the whole week, we're going to talk about something that I need to talk to you about.
Yeah.
About presence, about many things, something, and we did. Mm. And it was pretty shaky for him. And I made a promise to myself. I said, before the weekend, I have to tell to my father that I love him. Mm. Not like in French, je t'aime, no, but to say from eye to eye, je t'aime.
Yeah.
And take my time. And I did. And I was really happy. And I think I was closer to him, but still, I cannot lie that I was still, I kept some anger.
Yeah.
And then 10 years ago, I decided that you can keep anger because anger is, you know, you can grow up with anger.
Yeah.
You're going to grow old, you know, and I want to grow up.
Yeah.
So I decided, I said, you know what, Angelo? And I told my sisters, but I said, We have to stop, you know, like arguing with, you know, parents like that. Sometimes at a certain age, you know, you have to change. And I decided to change the word anger from love. And I decided to send and love to my father. Every time I was talking with him, it was amazing. So when I went to correspondence courriel or WhatsApp or whatever we exchange,
mm-hmm.
and it was all about love.
Right.
So when he died, I didn't keep anger.
Mm-hmm.
I love. I feel good. I feel light.
Yeah.
I felt good about that, and that's the main thing. And I started to tell everybody about that. I even made a post. I filmed myself. I said, you know what? Change that. Go for love.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wrote to me, a lot of people. And they said, oh, my God, I think I'm going to do that. And that's something that I like because, to me, the fact that my father wasn't always present,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these fathers at the same time, the 70s, 80s, they weren't there, you know?
Yeah.
Me, when I got my son, I was 32-year-old.
Yeah.
But now he's 26, almost 27. I decided to be present. Mm. I decided to be there by any means necessary.
Yeah.
That was my main mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I learned.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. The 2000s have been fairly... 2000 to 2022 have been fairly like harsh in my life. 2000, my grandfather was assassinated.
Tell me that.
Yeah, 2010, my cousin died from injuries sustained in the earthquake of January 2010. 2014, my grandmother died cardiac arrest, and then 2021, my father. And one thing that I can say, my grandfather, even my cousin, my grandmother, and my father, the last times that I spoke with them, I either said to them, I love you, or the conversation was filled with love. You know, the last text messages that I sent to my father, I sent him a song, a Bujubantan song, old school Bujubantan from the late 80s, early 90s. And I said to him, Dad, I really appreciate the diversity of the music that you have exposed me to, and I just want you to groove to this song. And he sent me like a smiley face with a heart, and that was it. You know? And then I didn't hear from him again. But I totally agree with you. Like, even myself, I have things in my life that are going on, and I know that I need to be more in a spirit of love. It's hard to like let go, but I find that our society thrives on dwelling on negativity. Like, I think about social media, and I think about, for example, the TikTok videos and people responding to comments. Like, a lot of the comments that people to respond to are not positive comments. It's almost always negative comments, you know? Like, people don't, like, they'll get 1,000, oh, that's great, that's awesome, this, that, and the next, but then one person comments, oh, this is garbage, and then they focus on that comment, and they give that comment their energy. And I find that, you know, even when it comes to dealing with mental health issues, or dealing with relationships, people with past relationships, and they're coming into a new relationship, they're bringing all of the negative that they learned in the past relationship and putting it onto the new relationship, which in turn creates an environment of negativity, even if that person is not actually trying to be negative, but everything is perceived that way because, like Les Brown said, we're in a negative way of thinking. We're in a negative society where everything has to be negative in order for it to be quote unquote great, you know? Like, when you, what's a classic thing that we all learn as young kids? Oh, ignore the girl if you want her to like you. Or if you hit the girl, they tell girls, if a boy is hitting you, it's because he likes you. Like, and they're teaching this from young. So we as a society are teaching our young ones that if you get a negative answer, that means a positive thing. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's all about strategic moves and way of life and way of thinking. And I just hate it. Mm-hmm. I don't play game when if I have to be with a woman, if I have to be with my friends, if I have to be professionally talking and moving. Mm-hmm. No, man, this is what you see is what you get. And well, that's it, you know, because game, you're missing. You're missing life. And no, I'm not into that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, you know, soon I want to have a conversation with my son about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's mostly about life, you know.
Yeah, but it's a part of life, right? Like,
Because it's something that we don't learn, we don't know, because I'm very close, like, you know, with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've been close for years and years, and I always taking her out. When I used to work at Music Plus, I used to have the opportunity to have and privilege to have lots of way to go to see many, many huge star concerts and venues and events and stuff like that. So I always say to my mom, you know, you're going to dress up tonight. Where are we going? I'm not telling you. The curtain opened and it's Charles Aznavour and it's Henri Salvador. It's go, oh my God. And to me, she's my hero. But the more I'm closer, well, I got other sisters and brothers, they're very close to my mom also, but I'm talking about myself. Mm-hmm. The more I'm closer with her, the more she's getting old. I don't like that word, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
And she's 87, so I'm learning about, you know, the lack of the comment on dit ça en anglais, en tout cas, les facultés mobiles, mm-hmm. elles sont moins présentes, et puis, so you're learning, so, oh my God, the memory.
She's losing her physical capabilities.
Yeah, when we were young, remember, we thought, I mean, for me, I was very naive, mm-hmm. and I thought people dying, like, in a bed, and very, like, living, and they said the last word, and I said, oh, my God, no, it's not like that, man. It's not a process. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about our life. It can be precious, but even though it's precious, it's not easy all the time.
Yeah.
It's not easy for some people to get out of bed and, well, to find, you know, some power into them. And sometimes it's not even power. It's just a strength to get up.
Yeah.
In many ways. So I want to tell him about that, to prevent him about that, what's coming.
Yeah.
And I asked him, the other day he was here, and I asked him, you know, you're my only son. Of course, you have another half-sister, but that's his sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm very close with that sister also. Mm-hmm. And I told him, are you going to take care of me when I'm going to be really old?
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed me and said, oh, yeah, I love you. And he's 26, not like a little kid.
Yeah.
He's a man. Yeah. He said, of course I'm going to take care of you. I said, well, and we almost felt like crying because I said, well, you know, I want to take care of me. The more I'm growing up, the more I want to take care of me. I'm in a good shape. You know, I'm training at home almost every day. I'm stretching, not because I want to look good, because I'm watching all the people that when they're walking, I say, well, maybe they stop stretching for years, you know.
Yeah.
And you can start whenever you're 70-year-old, you can start anytime.
Yeah.
So my mom and I were going to start yoga.
Yeah.
You know? I never done yoga in my life, but I want to bring her because she's always in the house, you know. But now with the summer, we're walking and walking. But, you know, so because I don't want my son, I don't want to be a weight for my son, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's life, you know. And we don't learn that part of life. We don't learn that part of that. We don't talk about that in school. And even our parents don't talk about that. It was pretty taboo, you know. It was so I want to talk about those topics. I think they're very interesting.
You know, it's I find it intriguing that you said that, because the other day I had a full discussion with a friend of mine, and I said that I want to dedicate the month of October to talking to people who have people in their lives who passed away. And I chose October because November is like October, November, you know, Halloween. But Halloween is really about celebrating the dead. It's not about ghouls and monsters and stuff like that. And also the Day of the Dead, which is celebrated in Mexico, happens end of October to November. So I was like, let's do a series of shows where different people come and talk about how their experience with death is, because we don't talk about it. We don't prepare ourselves for it. We don't really. When my grandfather was assassinated, it was just like, okay, it happened. But no one talked to me. Like, no one had conversations with me as I wasn't even 20 yet. I was 19 years old at the time, to help me to understand what happened. you know, and it was such a violent, sudden, violent act as well. You know, you don't really understand the callousness of people sometimes, human beings who take other people's lives, and then illness. Like we had this running joke with my grandmother. I didn't have it, but my mother would say it, and like my grandmother was very grounded in reality. She said, you know, moi je vais mourir tantôt là. And my mother would look at her and say, maman, tu vas vivre passer nous toutes. You know, like she's gonna live past us all. And and I was like, I don't believe that, but there was no discussion around death. And I think those are healthy discussions, because it'll take away, I believe that if we talk about it, it will take away a lot of the pain, not the mourning, not the sadness, but the pain that comes with it. If we know that, okay, this is just a part of life, then we can, I think it will facilitate the healing, you know, because we don't want to forget anybody, but we do want to heal from it.
Yeah, and it would change the perspective of loving each other, because
yes,
if you accept the fact that, well, you know, when I say I bump to you in the street, I say, hey, what's happening, Kim? Blah, 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 mm-hmm. We talk, we have a project together. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to see you tomorrow.
No.
Because usually people think, I might not see you, or you might not see me too. Mm-hmm. I might not be there, you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, I don't want to live in that kind of a situation on, you know, like the ground is always shaking. But
yeah,
if the ground is always shaking, I want to shake with the ground, and I won't make life shaking, you know? Right. I want to shake that thing, you know?
Yeah.
So every time I'm always praying every night to thank, to be thankful, to protect my mom, my son, my sisters and brothers and people around me and people that I met in that day. And mm-hmm. Oh, protect that one, you know, for me.
Yeah.
But sometimes I fall asleep because yeah. I don't even end up my prayer, but all day, I'm always thinking life like maybe 20 times a day, every day.
Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. When you're eating, when you're walking, you know, it's, when I'm getting up my bed, I'm washing my feet, and I say, well, I'm walking. I'm so privileged to walk. Yeah. I have water, I have a light, I have a, you know, a place to stay.
Head. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's about life, and we're there. We on the social media and watching if you have the likes or how many likes or if you have a success for something. It's not about success. It's about sharing, about, you know, enjoying life and try to change. Try to do your mission. Try to be on your path. You know?
Yeah.
And to do it, so you have a couple of mission or one mission in life, you know, do it. And it's hard to do it, but you have to do it, you know.
Yeah.
The purpose.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Angelo Cadet, and we're continuing this month with our dedication to Black Fathers. We do have to take a quick break and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with health, that's the rhyme designed to fill your mind now that you realize the
power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We got to fight the power.
Time to bring back smiles, all of them. Shy smiles, carefree smiles, ear-to-ear pearly white flashers, polite smiles, nervous smiles, knowing smiles, and kind smiles. Wearing a mask is no longer mandatory in Quebec, except on public transit, in healthcare facilities, and in the days following your isolation period if you had COVID-19. Feel free to keep wearing one if you feel the need, and do it with a smile. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening, the father that we are celebrating this evening, is Angelo Cadet, who has worked as a VJ on Musique Plus. And is it a VJ?
So I did a couple of times, but I was a TV host, like many
TV
shows.
TV host.
Fashion Perfecto, that was a fashion TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I had my talk show called Hollywood PQ.
Right.
I had another show called that I created called Salut les Amoureux.
Yeah.
Many, many, many shows, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really VJing. I didn't really want to do that. I did a couple of times, but... wasn't my
you
thing.
Moved
I
away from that.
Yeah, to produce shows.
Right. Well, this is where I was going to segue in that we had talked a few months ago when I was asking you to be on the show, and you said to me that you were more in front of the camera, and then when you were about to get separated from the mother of your child, and you knew that you wanted to be involved. Yeah. With your son's life. And right. What was happening is that because you were in front of the camera, you were doing a lot of traveling, a lot of back and forth thing. You were living on a plane, you know,
yeah.
Mostly out of a suitcase. Yeah. And so you made a decision that you wanted to be in your son's life. So could you tell us a little bit about that? I want you to tell that little story because it's really interesting, but then I'm going to take it back into time as well.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I didn't tell a lot of people about that. And for the respect of Mathis, my son's name is Mathis, M-A-T-T-Y-S. And mom, she's my good friend. I mean, really good friend. We've
mm-hmm.
been friends for a long time. But back in the days, you know, when I first come in at Musique Plus, I just became a father. Mathis had 2 months or 3 months. So that was a big change in my life, a new job, a new status and stuff like that. So I was really happy. But things, unfortunately, weren't going well with her mom and I, and we separated after not long ago, you know. So I was working for that TV fashion show called Perfecto, so I was always traveling, I don't know, New York, Paris, London, everywhere, Morocco. I was always on a plane. So, but I wanted to have like la garde partagée. How you say that in English?
You wanted to have shared custody.
Yeah, shared custody. So thank you. And so she didn't want, because she said, well, what you going to do? You're going to take Matisse for 1 week and then you're going to be in the plane? What you going to do? Because every 2 weeks, you're always gone. Toronto, everywhere.
Yeah.
She had a good point. I said, well, she said, well, fix that, but I'm keeping Matisse. You're going to take him only weekends. Mm-hmm. I went to see my boss, and I said, well, look, I want to change my work. I'm doing a little bit of directing. I'm mm-hmm. writing and stuff like that. And he goes, no, no way, because I hire you as a TV host, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't never hire you as a director or something like that. So I said, well, you know, we're going to have to fight because it's about my son, and that's more important to me. And he was mad when I told him that.
Yeah.
And, well, I said, yeah, my son is more important than this work. So, well, mm-hmm. he said, you know what to do. So he was about to fire me.
Yeah.
And I went to see him every 2 weeks to come try to talk. I went to his office, called him. I said, look, I want to create stuff. I have this show I want to do. I don't want to be in front of camera or less and less, you know, because I don't want to be on a plane. That's what I want to have my son. I want to have the custody. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more than 6 months or 8 months. And then he finally said yes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I went to see Judy, and she goes, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Before I said, yes, we're going to have to go to counseling, voir quelqu'un thérapeute.
Co-parenting coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
To fix things. Mm-hmm. So it was a real like battle. I said, okay, well, no, I didn't say, okay, well, I said, no, I don't need that.
Yeah.
It's like I was pretending to be God created woman, you know, man, right. You know. And she goes, well, that's the only way. We need to talk. We need to deal. We need to fix things. So I finally say yes. And I still thank her, because not only we fixed things, but we never, ever had a fight. Mm-hmm. There was six meetings, but we were allowed to go. We had to go to four, and then the last two was optional. So,
okay.
So it was great. And that's the time we had the 50-50 custody.
Yeah.
And I told her after, you know what, to me, my face, my little face and my stardom or whatever status is no important. My son is my life, like my mom. And that's, I want to be the father. I want to be present. I want to be there. Even though if I have to leave Music Plus, I would do it. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was a mission of life. And because I was starting to see that life was bringing me a lot of good opportunities, but these opportunities, I have to make a choice. You know, either I was doing this thing and growing like to be a big star or whatever, or either I was have to choose with a father. You know, fatherhood stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So fatherhood mission. To me, it was like really easy to choose, you know.
Yeah.
And people were really, really surprised. And I said, why? We don't see you no more, and stuff like that. And there's some people still saying that because, you know, a couple of years ago, I decided to not to be in front, not so much. Mm-hmm. Because of many things, you know, but mostly, most of all, it was about my son.
Yeah.
Because it's not... You know, when I made that move at Music Plus, my son was already 2.5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But what about when he's going to turn 10? What about when he's going to turn 15 and 16 and 19? I have to be there, you know.
Yeah.
I have to be. So my career is not important. I have to make sure that what I'm doing, I'm passionate about it, about my work. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, I don't need to be in front. If I have to be in front and it's still... Yeah, not gonna, you know, touch my
interfere.
That. So that's the choice I made, And you have to think about it, you know, it's a devotion. Mm. And of course, when you're a father, when you're a mom, you're always thinking that you don't do enough.
Yeah.
You know, you could do more. And when you think about those years, oh, maybe I wasn't present enough, but you know, that's at least you have to do some big move and keeping that, you know, that mission, keeping that philosophy, keeping that present. It's a gift for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just spoke with him this afternoon and told him, hey, I love. We always tell to each other we love each other, you know.
Yeah.
Even in front of his friend, and I'm always surprised when he was starting high school.
Yeah.
You know, father, Asian father, you kiss them on forehead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept doing that in front of his friends. And he's still doing that at 26, 27.
Yeah.
He's not going to hide that. I think he's proud of me and I'm proud of him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To make a quick conclusion, it's... I'm happy because he can count on me.
Yes, he can count on you. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows that I'm there.
Yes.
Even though now I can, let's say I can travel or I can work every day, 7 days a week because I'm into some kind of production. He knows that I'm there.
Yeah.
He knows that if he calls, I'm going to answer.
Yes.
If my mom calls, I told everybody in the production, I said, well, there's two calls I cannot miss. My mm-hmm. son and my mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I had a woman, maybe.
I love that, though, because too often, the narrative is that of the negligent father, right? Of the father who's absent, of the father who doesn't want to have anything to do with his kids, of the father who doesn't pay child support. You know, that's really a big narrative, especially in the Black community. You know, so this is extremely beautiful to see. You were very intentional. Once you were separated, you know, you made it clear to your boss that I am going to be in my child's life and there's no two ways about it. Granted, you did have to fight 6 to 8 months with your boss back and forth, but you stuck to your guns.
My boss years ago, he find out that he had a daughter.
Mm.
And he came to me like years and years ago, like 15 years after that. He took my hand, he said, because we're still friends.
Right.
He goes, Angelo, now I understand.
Wow.
Because I just found out that I have a daughter. She's 4-year-old and I want to be there. I want to take care. And I want to, you know, slow down my work and to be there because... He goes, you were right. You were right to push me. And back in the days, I couldn't understand. But props to you and stuff like that. And I was like really surprised. That shook me and that confirmed that I was doing.
You were doing the right thing. I always find it amazing though that people put a block in their mind. They cannot relate to anything that they are not experiencing. It's like, I think that is to such a detriment to our society. I mean, where is the compassion and empathy? You know, like, to me, it was, if I am the head of a business and a parent comes to me, even before I had a child, parent come to me and say, hey, I gotta go pick up my kid. Go pick up your kid. You know, I had friends who had kids already. And, you know, they would say to me, like, I have my niece and nephew, and their mother is a really, really good friend of mine. And it's like, okay, Kim, you can come and hang out, but at 4 o'clock, I'm going to pick up the kids. I'm like, do you want company? You know, because I'm just like, I accept that this is a part of your life.
Yeah.
And I have to constantly remind myself that there's a lot of people out there that don't have compassion and empathy as like part of their value set to be like, you know what? I don't have kids, but I don't need to have kids to understand the value and the importance that this parent is showing me, is telling me
yeah.
about their child, you know. So I'm just baffled at people who, oh, now I understand because I have a kid, or when we're talking about rape and situations like that, you know, oh, I found out it happens to my sister, so now I believe all the women that are saying it. And it's like, bro, compassion and empathy, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get how people can be so disconnected from one from the other, where like, we are living a human experience from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to sleep. And even in our dreams, we are still having human experiences. So it's like, how can you not?
It's all about competition, individuality, and self-ego. Mm-hmm. People, that's where we're in. And I think I'm happy to witness the times that we're living, even though the times are really hard. But I always think that, you know, when there were Trump stuff and stuff like that, and the war and everything and the pandemic, and I always think to myself, my God, if let's say we're 10 years later,
yeah,
I would grab a history book. I would say, my God, I would love to live in that era, you know?
Right.
So that's where we are. That's where. So I'm happy to be a part of that, you know?
To
witness that too. So to change my world, to change the perspective, the narrative, and to contribute to that, and like you say, empathy, and that's part of my mission.
For sure. If you are tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Angelo Cadet. And this is a continuation of our series celebrating Black Fathers during the month of June. We do have to take a quick break and pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm more than just an option.
Hey, hey, hey.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Hey, hey, hey.
I took a chance with my heart.
Hey, hey, hey.
And I feel it taking over. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find give all my. I'm more than just a number.
Hey, hey, hey.
I doubt you'll find another.
Hey, hey, hey.
So every single summer.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'll be the one that you remember. And I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find give all my love. And nothing's gonna tear us apart. It's more than just a mission.
Hey, hey, hey.
You hear but you don't listen.
Hey, hey, hey.
You better pay attention.
Hey, hey, hey.
And get what you've been missing. I better find your loving. Find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find give all my love. And nothing's gonna tear us apart. Too many times I've been wrong. I guess being right takes too long. I'm done waiting, there's nothing left to do but give all I have to you. And I better find your loving. I better find your heart.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this month, this June, we are doing a celebration of Black Fathers across the board. And we have with us Angelo Cadet, who is a seasoned multidisciplinary artist, also a recognized designer, director, television consultant, producer, event artistic director, professor of TV journalism at LaSalle Conservatory, and he just wears many hats. He's wearing a hat right now. thank you, Angelo, for being here. And I'm so happy that you are sharing your story with us, because before the break, you shared with us that at a certain point, your child was very young, but you were working at Music Plus, and you were traveling and literally traveling across the world for the shows that you were doing. So you were in front of the camera. And when you separated with the mother of your child, you had to fight for about 6 to 8 months with your boss in order to change your position so that you could be more behind the camera and more grounded and available to be able to see your child on a regular basis and eventually have shared custody. I want to take it back a little bit. I want to take it back to when you first found out that you were about to become a father. Like, what was that for you? What was the kind of emotional state that you were in? Give me all the tea, as we like to say nowadays.
Well, you know, those pregnancy tests for everybody, but I went through that. That was the longest, I think it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
Something like that, yeah.
Man, you stop breathing. The world stopped. You say, my God, now the status, I am Angelo Cadet, but I might be a father, Angelo Cadet. Mm-hmm. And you're never ready for that. But also, you're always ready. You're more ready than you think. There's this quote said in French, they say, on ne naît pas parent, on le devient. Mm-hmm. You're not born to be a parent, but you're going to become
a parent. Yeah.
And yeah, prepare. And man, I think the world, I think I saw the planet turn. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
360 around me. I didn't move, but I saw the ground when I find out. And of course, you do a second test. But when I really, really find out, I really saw the world turning around me.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that you see, it's a pregnant woman on the street. You see little baby everywhere.
Yeah.
Thinking about your mom. You're thinking about your father. You're going back to your files.
Yeah.
You're going to your youth. You're going back. Oh my God, to your value.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, I said, oh my God, because I was 32 year old. And I say, oh my God, at 27 year old, I was still at school, and I had this chance to go work in Toronto to do a TV show for kids. But before I left Montreal, I was always on a bike. I had my car, but I was on a bike going up to the mountain. But I felt this fatherhood thing in my belly. You know, usually it's woman.
Yeah.
And I felt that. I said, and I was up to the mountain riding my bike fast, fast, fast. And I stopped. I said, oh, my God, I think I want to be a father.
Yeah.
I want that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That for sure. And I kept that in my mind. I said, oh, how is it going to look like? How is it going to be? How is it going to be? And I start to visualize me as a father.
Yeah.
So I won't say that I was ready, but I was in certain way ready to open that door, to open that side of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it affected me because when you're meeting a new person in your life, a woman, say, well, I have this secret in my inside of me. One day I'm going to tell her, you know what? And usually it's women, they're asking you, well, do you want kids?
Yeah.
And I was always really, my answer was clear. My mind was clear. My body was clear. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Probably because of this. When I was talking about prisons. And so after the aftershock, that came back to my mind.
So all of the reflections that you had been doing before you even had an inkling. So you knew before even the pregnancy, maybe even the mother of your child got together, you knew that you wanted to be a father. And then when it happened, when you got those results, it was like, hold on a second. And you started remembering all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I felt stronger, but I felt weaker because I didn't have the tools. And of course, I have to turn to my mom, say, mm-hmm. hey, you're going to be a grandmother. And I was the first child to make that happen in the family. We're
right.
five.
Yes.
So I'm in the middle one. So I turned also to my father. But back in the days, you know, he wasn't really there back then. But I want to tell the whole truth. You know, the things weren't going good with me and Julie. We were going out for 4 years.
Yeah.
But we were about to break up.
When you found out.
Yeah, we were. I mean, I was there, man. I was there to telling her that I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then her little sister, got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she got pregnant, and she told me at the beginning of the relationship, she said, you know what, since I'm 16-year-old, I always think that if I'm getting pregnant, I'm always going to keep that child. So there was no abortion, no way about that, no discussion about that. So,
yeah.
But it's about responsibility and... What I like about that, when I'm thinking about that, it's I knew I was getting to a new chapter.
Yeah.
I knew that something, I have to let go something.
Yeah.
Me, I was the king of for my own self.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I was the king, probably one of the king in Montreal, you know, going out, having fun,
yeah.
doing parties, producing stuff. And then I said, well, that Angelo has to go.
Yeah.
You know? He's always going to be there, but I don't have to put so many plays, so many in my life. So, and after relearn life, and I like every time there's a new chapter in my life, I can feel it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so excited, even though sometimes I'm so scared,
yeah.
but I'm more excited than I'm scared.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing my life since I'm young like a book, literally. And I used to write... I used to read a lot of biography, biotopic.
Yeah.
So, and let's say I'm writing something about, I don't know, Charlie Chaplin or Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
So when it comes to fame, I let go the book. I want to see the struggle, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see the chapter. So I was always thinking about me about that way, you know, as a book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So every time a new chapter... There's a new look of me. There's a new way of thinking, and I want to be more spiritual.
Yeah.
I want to get more wisdom. I want to add always something, and I'm really excited about that. So that was a new. That was big because I felt the weight on my shoulder. But also I said, Angel, take it easy. Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have value. You have a mission, you have a philosophy, but one thing we don't learn, we don't talk about death and family and school and stuff like that, but
yeah.
we don't talk about couples, we don't talk about education.
Mm.
You're meeting someone, you're loving that person. So my God, we are made to be together, you know, we are meant to be together. So you're traveling, you're living together, everything's cool. But when it comes to a child,
yeah,
to raise a child, sometimes you don't have the same point of view.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, and that topic can come really fast.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that. Couples don't talk about that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not all the couples, but... So you say, well, my mom, sorry, in our family, you know, and my mom used to think that I'm thinking like my mom, and there's no way they're going to change, and there's no way you're going to change.
No.
So I was surprised about that. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we didn't have the same kind of value, but that can be surprising. You thought you knew that person, and that person thought she knew you, you know.
So, yeah. Well, a lot of the time when we're in relationships, we project onto our partner. We don't actually accept and see our partner for who they are. We project our values and we project our fantasies of who they are onto them. And so that's why a lot of the time we're so disappointed in our relationships. It's because they don't live up to the expectation of the image that we painted of them. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can totally relate to everything you said. Everything you said.
We make a mistake sometimes, and you have to learn, and it's okay, you know, but I'm looking for in a relationship, you have to look after yourself for you, and the other one have to look after herself for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's all about it, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to become like that. And same for a kid, you know. Same way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.